Good morning. Welcome to our service of morning prayer on this Thursday, June the 4th, 2020. Well, we'll be focusing on the educator and reformer in the Roman Catholic tradition that had an ecumenical effect, Pope John the 23rd, who inaugurated the Vatican Council II. Tomorrow and through Fridays in June, we'll be focusing on the preparations for the National Indigenous Day of Prayer, which is the 21st of June, and the richness and variety and the joy that brings that indigenous spirituality and Anglican tradition brings. And today I am Kit Greaves, as always, and today with me is Justin Greaves, my son.
Good morning.
There's a cat around. Mm-hmm. Winston. So we invite you to pray along with us, and especially in seasons of racial tensions and the COVID-19 pandemic, lots of things on our hearts to pray about. So we're glad that you're with us today to engage the Creator of heaven and earth in prayer. So I invite you to take a deep breath as we pray. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being reconciled, we are saved by his life. I invite you to keep a moment of silence. O send out your light and your truth, let them lead me.
Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle.
Then I will go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him.
Glory to God in the highest.
For in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Glory to God in the highest.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory to God in the highest, and in earth peace.
A reading from Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem and Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up before them, through only in private meeting with the acknowledged leaders, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelling to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false believers, secretly brought in, who slipped it in to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might enslave us, we did not submit to them, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might always remain with you, and from those who were supposed to be acknowledged leaders. What they actually were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those leaders contributed nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter, making him an apostle to the circumcised, also worked through me in sending me to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 122 from the Message. When they said, "Let us go to the house of God," my heart leaped for joy. And now we're here, O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls. Jerusalem, well-built city, built as a place for worship. The city to which the tribes ascend, all God's tribes go up to worship, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it means to be Israel. Thrones for righteous judgment are set there, famous David thrones. Pray for Jerusalem's peace, prosperity to all you Jerusalem lovers. Friendly insiders, get along. Hostile outsiders, keep your distance. For the sake of my family and friends, I say it again, live in peace. For the sake of the house of our God, God, I'll do my very best for you.
A reading from John chapter 17, verses 9 to 11 and 14 to 19. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Reflection on the life of John the 23rd. The Bishop of Rome, Reformer, and a chair of the Second Vatican Council. This commemoration comes from For All the Saints by the Reverend Stephen Reynolds. John the 23rd convened the Second Vatican Council in 1962 and thereby launched Roman Catholics into the modern renewal of their church. We especially remember him because of his ecumenical concerns. He himself once remarked to an Anglican priest, "Whenever I see a wall between Christians, I try to pull out a brick." Born as Angelo Roncalli in 1885, he entered seminary at the age of 10. Ordained priest in 1904, he spent the next decade as secretary to the Bishop of Bergamo, one of the most enlightened prelates of his time and place. After the end of the First World War, Roncalli's career in the church developed rapidly. In 1934, he was appointed apostolic delegate in Turkey and Greece. His predecessors in the post had confined their dealings with the Orthodox to official business. Roncalli went out of his way to develop cordial relations with the ecumenical patriarch himself. During the Second World War, Roncalli used his office as apostolic delegate to help Jews escape from German control. And towards the end of the war, he arranged relief supplies for the starving Greeks. In 1944, he was appointed papal nuncio to the newly liberated France, and 9 years later was made Patriarch of Venice. Roncalli was elected Pope in 1958 and took the name John the 23rd. At the age of 73, he had been chosen as a caretaker Pope, but John quickly made it clear that he did not intend to doze in the chair of St. Peter as Pope. He inaugurated a series of administrative reforms and established the Secretariat for Promoting Christian Unity. Then, on October 11, 1962, he opened the Second Vatican Council. At about this time, John was told that he had an inoperable cancer. He replied, Don't worry about me, because my bags are packed and I'm ready to go. Undeterred by his illness, he spent the last months of his life mediating between American and Soviet leaders in order to broaden the scope of their nuclear disarmament talks. He died in early June 1963. I might add that I'm sitting next to Justin, whose girlfriend Tina's grandmother, her Yaya, Tula, what's her last name, Papalusi?
Her maiden name is Papalus.
Papalus. That she was a young child who perhaps was benefited by Pope, he wasn't Pope then, but by the apostolic delegate Roncalli, who was helping with food efforts in Greece. As a young child, she might have been a beneficiary of some of his efforts to provide food relief during the Second World War. And she eventually escaped Greece and came to Canada, and they started a restaurant. Anyway, that's about a little bit about Tula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Yeah.
And interesting to have that family connection with this reformer, Pope John the 23rd.
Wow. Also, the reason I paused during the reading was because Winston the cat is chasing a hornet in the house.
Yes. These things happen when we do live morning prayer broadcast. So let's pray. By your incarnation and your birth in poverty, by your baptism, your fasting, and your trials in the desert, O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
By your agony in the garden, by your cross and passion, by your death and burial, by your resurrection and ascension, and by the gift of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
In times of trouble in the States or wherever these injustices are happening between races and peoples, and the indigenous peoples in Canada suffer some of the same injustices, and in times of well-being, at the hour we die and on the day of your glory, O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Deliver us from war and violence, from hardness of heart, and from contempt of your love and your promises, especially in our leadership, wherever they might be. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Enlighten our lives by your word, and that in it we may find our way and our hope. We pray for those who are in any need today, for Jen expecting in July and Clarissa in a couple of weeks in June, for those who are living with cancer and taking treatments, for the sister-in-law of Rita, for Biba, dear friend of Nancy, has pancreatic cancer, for Noah, 18-year-old, living with cancer and having knee problems in addition to that, for Bill, Haley, for Clifford, father of Allison, for our migrant workers who are so important to our Canadian fresh food industry, for their safety and well-being, especially those who have already contracted COVID-19 and those who might be spared from that by their employers and operators providing sufficient space and safety protocols for them. For racial and peace understanding among peoples wherever they may be. We pray for those who might be drawn to the light of Christ, for our neighbor Eddie, Hugh, Steve, and Kathy, and Mark, and others for whom we wish to pray, seniors, those living alone, educators, children, parents, whoever they may be. We take a time of quiet to think about others for whom we wish to pray, including the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for our leadership at in this church, for our bishops, for Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Linda, the primate, Andrew, our diocesan, Rasil, our area bishop, for all clergy and people, theological students, those in other disciplines in the post-secondary education, those still needing to finish their year or have had their year disrupted and interrupted, for our ministries at Christ Church, including our stewardship, our outreach, our children's and youth ministry, worship and music, as we are planning for worship services over the summer on video, and other ministries of our church family. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Assist your people in every land, govern them in peace and justice, defend them from the enemies of life. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of all truth and peace, you named your bishop John the servant of the servants of God, and gave him wisdom to begin the work of renewing your church. Grant that after his example, we may extend our hands to other Christians to clasp them with the love of your Son and labor among the nations of the world, to kindle their desire for justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, we give you this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you in however small or large ways we may be to do so. And we give thanks and remember the words that Jesus taught his friends. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow.